Thank you very much for being mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this Torah. And it's through that you begin the process of making it your Torah. As the Gemara says, Masechas Avodah Zarah, commenting the opening parak of Tehillim, Ki im b'saras Hashem cheftzo v'saraso yehege yomam v'layla. This individual who's seeking to rise above negative peer pressure and put himself in a better place, v'saras Hashem cheftzo, he desires Hashem's Torah, uv'saraso, and in his Torah, yehege yomam v'layla. He is hoge day and night, he's investing himself, he's working hard day and night in his Torah. Who is he? Whose Torah? So one could have understood that it's a reference to the man we just mentioned. But the Gemara of Avodah Zarah says, at least on Derech Drash, if not Derech Pshat, that there's a contrast being drawn. Meikara, it's Torah Hashem. Levasov, it's Torah delay. It starts over the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. I want Torah. So if it's at the point where Besoros Hashem Cheftzo, I want it, but I'm not yet invested in it. So that's God's Torah, and I'm staring at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, and I'm dreaming of learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. I'm dreaming of being Kona, His Torah, God's Torah. But once I'm actually Hoge, once I'm Motzi Me'akoach HaPol, it wasn't just Chafetz Torah, but I'm actually working. So when you work hard, it becomes Torah delay. It becomes your own. Besora so, His own Torah. That's the line they say. Certain upshot, the Tanur Rabbanon is itself a Musar Shmos. Al Derech Remez, we could say. Al Derech Halatza. Tanur Rabbanon. If you learn, then you become Rabbanon. If you invest yourself, then you can make yourself into something. So with that in mind, let's come back to the point of the Sugya which we were up to. Rav Huna given us a din of Ritzufos, the requirement of Ritzufos which he had extracted from the Mishnah. Not only do you need Gimel Shanim, not only do you need Gimel Shanim Shalemo as opposed to Mikutaos, you also need Gimel Shanim Ritzufos as opposed to Mifuzaros. Rav Chama given us an exception. What was the exception? When do you not require Ritzufos? Oh, good. V'astrodom of Ribagi, which the Gemara had clarified and expanded, not only a place where everyone is Muvri Bagi, even a place where some are and some are not. Some are Zoreya every year, but others are Zoreya 1 year, Movir the next year. Even in a case where it's Yesh V'yesh, it is still valid to say, I follow the practice, the Shita, of those who skip years, and that does not get away in Mechazaka. Again, we dealt with already Machlokas, 2 or 3 a Machlokas, we've shown him how many years it actually takes. Ravon says 3, and he quotes Rav Haigon to support his position. Rov Rishonim say more than 3. The Torah understands that means 5. The Ramban has a line about 6, which is either Davka or Lav Davka. We spend some time thinking about that. But then, moving from the issue of how many years it takes to have to implement a Chazaka, B'Asher D'Muv Ribagi, whether it's 3, 5, or maybe 6, the next question is, What's pshat in the 2 svaras that the Gemara had offered? Gemara is offering 2 svaras, or I would have thought that you need everyone to be Muvri Bagi in order for my hovar to be acceptable. Kamash Milan Rav Chama, even in Yesh V'yesh. And what's the Kamash Milan? So here the Gemara explains the Kamash Milan, where I gave 2 svaras. Either the svar of Nitirusa or the svar of Avda Tve. Either it makes sense that I want to take a break, to join my neighbors in taking a break, because if others are taking a break and I want a farm, the cost of shmira is not being divided among so many people, and it becomes prohibitively expensive. That's svar number 1. E nami. Svar number 2. Achinichli davta tvei. The field will grow more. So we saw the Rishonim debate. Number Rishonim on the Gemara are bothered clearly. They don't necessarily formulate the kasha explicitly, but so yesterday they're clearly bothered with the question of who needs the inami. The first svar is fine. Who needs the inami? So the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva B'Shem Ra'ah both address themselves to that problem. Rabbeinu Yonah has, both of them say that the second teretz covers cases that the first teretz does not. Which cases? So they have 2 different approaches to in what way is the first svara limited. Rabbeinu Yonah said the first svara is limited to To what? To question of geography, location, right? The Ben Yonah says, as the Torah says as well, we'll get back to Torah in a moment, Ben Yonah and Torah both say, look, the Shemira issue is only relates to your immediate neighbors. People who live a mile or half a mile away from you, depends how big the fields are, people who live who are non-adjacent, or in the next bikka over, it's irrelevant. You wouldn't share a shomer anyways. So when you're looking at, if you want to claim the Tirusa, that requires a very narrow lens. But if you're talking about Abdet Fe, so then I could zoom out, I could look at the B'nai Ha'ir overall, all the people in the Albany area, all the fields that surround Albany. Right? You see even in Megillas Rus, for instance, the fields aren't in Beis Lechem, but these are the Beis Lechem fields. So that's the way towns were arranged. You had the urban core, and then there were the surrounding fields that presumably belonged to the people who lived in town and that were worked on by the people that lived in that town. So that region. So that's what that's the argument of Aniona makes. That's a question of geography. So that in that sense, the second terrace applies in case the first terrace is not. The Ritva is a different variable. He takes a look at not where, but how many. Not Efo, but Kama. How many people are being over? And he seems to say that the first svar of Nitirusa only works if most people are taking a break. So then there's a dramatic difference in how many people I'm dividing my Nitirusa costs with. That's very, very significant. If you usually divide it with eight other people, and this year I'll only be dividing with two other people or three other people, that's a vast rise in my costs. But if instead of dividing with eight people, I'll divide with six people, not that much of a difference. Okay. Masha'en Okein, he says, you can't be the only one who's being mover. That's unacceptable. Batla Daito, as he puts it. Batla Daito means we don't see that as reasonable if everyone else is doing it, and if no one else is doing it. But I only need a miut of people in the area who are being movir from my hovara to be acceptable if my taina is of the tfei. Oh, now, the tour, then we had seen the tour, what the tour introduced, he starts, well, he puts in the reverse order. He starts by talking about what's really his biggest chiddush, which is of the tfei is also limited. When he gets around to Nitzirusa, Nitzirusa is limited essentially the same way Ben Yona said, that Nitzirusa only works if your immediate adjacent neighbors are being moved. But he had said, remember you said yesterday, his chiddush was, Avdat Fe is also limited. They're both limited. Avdat Fe, he says, is limited to what? Avdat Fe is limited to, Avdat Fe is not going to work if we know that your field is Gevaldik. If we happen to know that your pit, that's what we're talking about, we ended with yesterday. We're not, at least not yet. We are not yet farmers. So maybe some of you will be zochis one day to be farmers in Eretz Yisrael. Halvai. But none of us are, as of yet, farmers. Maybe some people with a green thumb, you do a little gardening in the backyard. Anyone do any gardening? Okay. You killed plenty of plants. Oh. So maybe, I'm glad to see you have a couple of green thumbs here. So maybe you're aware of the fact that sometimes things take well in your soil, and sometimes you're following all the instructions, and you're planting, you're watering. So if you didn't water, mela. If you plant the wrong place with too much sunlight or not enough sunlight, mela. But I follow all the instructions to the T, and it ain't working. The grass just isn't, I don't know why. The neighbor's grass is goodbye. Everyone else's grass is goodbye. The grass is greener on the other side. Sometimes it actually is greener on the other side. And that's what the Torah is saying. Different soils are different, even on a micro level. Not just that the soil in Beit Lechem is different than the soil in Yericho. Not just different ayaros. Who can tell us? Yericho ira tamarim. Okay, so Yericho lends itself to tamarim. Adiyom hazeh, you can drive by. You'll see thousands and thousands and thousands of tamarim on Route 90. Okay, so Yericho and Beit Lechem lend themselves to different agricultural mela. But the Torah is saying, even on a micro level, it could be that my neighbor's soil is chemically better off than my soil is. It could be his soil will grow grass without any, the term nowadays thing is amendments, not constitutional amendments. But amendments mean when you have to add different minerals to your, sometimes the gardeners, or if you're doing your own gardening, will add different minerals to the soil to change the mineral content, to change the pH. Sometimes you need to deal with the soil. So Hovara is another way of amending the soil. So the Torah says it could be that we all know that your field is super gadol. So that's just absurd. Is this because the neighbors are doing Hovara? That makes sense. But you're going to do Hovara. That's absurd. So what the Torah is Mechadish, which the other Rishon did not say, is that the second Teretz is also limited. The Torah just says it. If you're reading quickly, you might not notice it. It's important to read carefully. Important to read with your eyes open. And if you didn't notice it, the Beis Yosef points it out. The Beis Yosef points it out. The Bach points it out. Here, the Beis Yosef points out, So Rabbeinu Terutz HaKama, the Beis Yosef is on the Rashi position of the Torah, Bach's and Tos position, he says, the Torah holds, the first Teretz is only in this case. So the Beis Yosef gives you half. Beis Yosef just says, well, the Torah is like Rabbeinu Yonah. It doesn't mention Rabbeinu Yonah. It says, look, the Torah is Rabbeinu Yonah. The first Teretz only works when your neighbors are also being Movir, and the second Teretz works even if your neighbors are not being Movir. The Bach gives you both halves of the picture. The Bach says, it's the Bach Os Gimel. It's some of the older Svarim. You see that finger?
Yeah.
That's Gevaldik. Some of the older Svarim, they would have like, as particularly on the Nosei Kalim of the Turin Shulchan Aruch, they want to show you where the Chiddush is. So they'd be like, you know, like those tabs, the sticky tabs that people have. So this is the old version. Mom, it's written and printed in. And some of the older editions, you could tell, like, there were certain printing presses had particularly elaborate-looking fingers. Some of them are very pretty. So they kept that here. They show you, here's the Chiddush. Like, the Rebbe wants you to point, hold your finger on the place. Here, take a look at this. Mashmal ahead, you take a look at the end of the Bach. De'im yodua shehi tova, ve'ein tzarech lahovira. If number one, you know the field is a high quality field, does not require hovara. And omedes ben sedos rus, the immediate adjacent properties are all planted. Lo havi chazaka im hovira. The Bach draws out the lemaisa of the tour. The tour holds that there is a case where neither tam applies, and then in Achanami the din of Rav Chama doesn't apply. In other words, while for the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva, there are some cases where Svar number one applies in Tirusa, and then that's part of the larger group of cases where Svar number two applies. And Svar number one is a subset of Svar number two, but anything that has one also has two. The Bach is pointing out that for the tour, it looks more like your classic-looking, stereotypical Venn diagram. There are cases where Svar number one applies, a case where Svar number two applies. Sometimes you have only Svar 1, sometimes only Svar 2, sometimes you have both, sometimes you have neither. Sometimes you have neither. So there could be cases, if neither Svar applies, if neither criterion is in play, in a Hanami, the Bach says, according to the Torah, you have to have some Svara or another. You have to have some Svara or another. So what is Taka... And what would the other Rishonim say? Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva. Now, it sounds like they disagree. It sounds like they think that, no, you have the first Teretz, and then the first Teretz only covers some cases, the second Teretz covers all of that plus. So the question is, a couple had left off yesterday, a couple guys asked, so then, clearly Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva are sensitive to the kasha of who needs the Inami. It's clear what they're trying to solve. They didn't formulate the kasha explicitly, but the implied kasha is, who needs Inami? You already gave an answer. So they're giving an answer. Well, the second svar applies in cases that this first svar does not. So it's not redundant. It accomplishes something. It covers more cases. I've asked the reverse kasha. The tour clearly was bothered in both directions. Why do I need the second one if I have the first one? And why do I need the first one if I have the second one? See, he's explaining each one has a strength, the other one does not. Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva. So if you wanted to, you could say, well, really, they agree with the Torah, they just didn't say it. Maybe, okay. Maybe. That's not particularly appealing. And when we get to the Rambam and the Rif, we get back to Rambam and the Rif and Shulchan Aruch, you're not going to get that impression either. Alternatively, what else would you say? How would if Rabbeinu Yoh and the Ritva mean what they sound like they mean, that all cases included in one are also included in two, so who needs one? Yeah, what would you say, Yonah?
Could be that when they say that, like, most people or everybody is not, like, in the field of blank, and therefore it's not the case that the Gemara is talking about. Once everybody in the field is planting, then it's no longer a case of Svara, or even most people in the field.
Right, no, but in other words, if Svara number two includes Svara number one plus, even if your local people, your immediate neighbors aren't Mover, as long as B'nai Ha'ira be Mover, even if most people are planting, but there's a me that's at least who are being Mover, it's good enough. So that's Gevaldik. So just give Avdut Fei, why do we have to say Nitirusa to begin with? Why didn't the Gemara skip Svara number one, which Lechora is what the Torah is bothered by, and he said in a Chanami, each Svara has a strength, the other one doesn't. But if you see that this first Svara is merely a fully enclosed subset of the second one, so who's in the first one? But Yaman, what do you say?
Doesn't it seem to say that Rabbi Yonah and Rifa, in the case of when we know the field is good, then then this is kind of like the exception to our exception here, that in that case that you would have to say they have to plant. But in the Torah, the Torah could say that they don't have to plant because they still have the first reason.
The Tur is the one who develops this idea that the second Svara of Avdut Fei is also limited. Limited to a case where we don't know for sure that the field doesn't need it. The other Rishonim don't say that. So then the question is, if they don't say that, so then who needs the first Svara? Yeah, what do you say, Yehuda?
So the first one, maybe that could be that it's the better answer, and then the second one is more inclusive. The first one is really
Then
Yaakov also added the fact that maybe the first one was better, so that you actually prove, like, financially, actually you could see that it's better. And then the second one...
Good, right. So maybe the first one is stronger. Maybe even the second one is more expansive. Maybe the first one... And the truth is, not only is the second one more expansive, it'll make the kasha even stronger. Not only is the second one more expansive, if the first one is technically unnecessary, not just cheshbon, the second one seems like the more natural answer to give. It's the more essential answer to give. Why are you doing hovara? I'm not doing it because of other people. At the end of the day, the reason why a farmer does hovara is... because he wants Avdut Fei. So, not only is it odd that the Gemara had to stop and give Svara number one, if Svara number two is more inclusive, it's odd they had to give Svara number one. Svara number two is what it's all about. That's the natural answer. Svara number one is like, Tacheshbin, the side point. Right? So you're saying, exactly. But there must be something about Svara number one that's sharper, that's stronger. So not to say stronger on the board. No, on paper it's not strong. It's not going to cover more cases. But maybe, so it could, that's an interesting point. That Avdut Tvei, as we were talking about yesterday, Avdut Tvei is looser. I'm going to come to Beis Din, I'm going to say, well, this field produces more. Well, does it? Doesn't it? It's very hard to nail down. As a farmer, that's what would motivate you. As a farmer, ultimately what's going to drive you, probably primarily, the core reason, again, there'd be all sorts of other financial accounting. My accountant might tell me, don't farm because of Nitzirusa. But as a farmer per se, you know, what's driving me is what's going to get the greatest long-term net productivity from the field. However, so that's true as a farmer making a decision, sitting at my table, thinking about what's my plan for next year, what's going to drive me is Avdut Tvei. But we're not talking about farmers. We are talking about farmers. But remember, these things are being said not on the farm. They're being said not in the Goren or at the silo. They're being said in Beis Din. That's what the Gemara is talking about. Taina and Beis Din, Avdut Tvei might be true, but it's very fuzzy. Nitirusa is less central, but it's very clear. I can if in terms of demonstrating to Beis Din, it's just dollars and cents. Right, exactly. It's very concrete. It's very empirical. You see, usually every year we pay our shomer X. Every year we share the shomer with the following and other people. But this coming year, out of those and other people, you know, 75% of them told me that they're taking off the year and therefore they're not planning to pay for a shomer. So it's just all numbers. It's very numerical. It's very straightforward. It's very black and white. It's very easy to demonstrate. Exactly. It's very easy to demonstrate and very easy to make a case in Beis Din. So in terms of coming to Beis Din, the easiest thing to say, if I could say it, is Nitirusa. But again, Rabbi Yona points out, although it's the easiest tanya to make, it only works if my adjacent neighbors are being mover. Ritva says it only works if most of the people are being mover. So there is also another svara, which I could say in Beis Din. It's a little harder to say in Beis Din, but that also works, which is Avda Tve. So were there more, first let's come to Riff in a moment, were there more thoughts about how you would be Miyashe for a Ben Yon the Ritva? Yeah.
So Ritva says, Lo Shai Akad Ben Avre. So does that mean that you think that there's something about one that's not...
Yeah, so Emmet makes a good point. There is that line in the Ritva when he's getting into this topic, one is not shaykh to the other. So what does that mean? So that sounds a little bit like the tour, that each one is separate of the other. But then he never follows up and explains in what way is the first one stronger than the second. So I think what he probably means is just that each one can exist independently. You don't need both together to explain what you're doing. Either one stands alone. However, they might not each stand alone in the same cases, which everyone agrees. So the question is, what does the overlap look like? I think what he means is just, I don't need both svaras together. I don't need the conjunction of both svaras. Either one, when it works, works alone. Works independent. They're two independent svaras. So yeah, so again, we are bothered. You could ask why did the Gemara need to say the first svara at all? Both on the level for Ben Yon the Ritva, that it's redundant because the second svara encompasses more cases, and essentially the second svara is more essential to a farmer. The first svara is an accounting side. Accounting cheshbonos are very relevant to business success, but that's not the core of your business mission. The core of your business mission is growing food. So why taka did the Gemara need to give the first svara of Nitirusa? So the Torah would say, because sometimes the second svara doesn't work. Okay. Rabbi Yonah Ritva, you could say they really agree with the Torah, they just didn't say it. Not necessarily so appealing. Or you could say there's something stronger about the first svara. Not that it covers more cases, but that as a taina, it's an easier taina to formulate crisply in Beis Din. It's just dollars and cents. The second svara is much fuzzier. Avda Tve, yeah, it is Avda Tve, it's not Avda Tve. They're going to get into a little bit of a rabbit hole once you start debating the quality of your land. But you're just talking about dollars and cents, and everything is very, very demonstrable, then maybe that's why in Beis Din that is the more natural svara to say. There's a third way to solve this also, and then maybe there's more thoughts too. You have more terutzim to this, Kasha? Yeah, but that's not necessarily Nitirusa. Derech HaBalim is relevant, but I'm not sure that's svara number one more than svara number two necessarily. Raf. So maybe let's hold off for now. Yeah.
I had a question on the answer.
So you
said that Avda Tve would be harder to prove, but according to their Ritva and Rabbeinu, wouldn't we say that Avda Tve would work even in a case where your field is Tova?
In Echanami, yeah, but still, I'd rather come into Beis Din. I'm not saying that necessarily he's going to force me to demonstrate, but I'm not coming. I'd rather come into Beis Din and say something crisp, clean, simple, in and out. Instead of start making claims that are fuzzier. Not that it won't work, it will work. But if I could just come in and say something chad v'chalak, and not have to give a whole story, say, dollars and cents just doesn't make sense. See, we usually share with six people, here we only share with two people. Sure, okay, done. We don't have to get into, but you're right. It's, again, one way of solving this would be to say with the tour, the Enochanami, it matters. Do the Rayon and Ritva agree with the Torah? Maybe not. Another way to be said that it's a time, the first one is a time of Pshuta. And the third thing you could say is, finally, Lozu Afzu. The Tanoim, the Gemara points out in many places, that the Tanoim often arrange Mishnayos in a lozu afzu format. They give you something small, small chiddush, then they give you the bigger chiddush. And that's the way Chazal often presented ideas. So it could also be that if you expect usually that sort of telescoping format, think about this, and even this, and even this, so it might not, it's not as, the question of who needs svar number one once you have svar number two is not as difficult as who needs svar number two if you have svar number one. Rabbi Yon and the Ritva may be more bothered correctly. Once you get svar number one, you're only going to give an inami if it's adding something. The need for the inami to add over and above the first svara is more of an issue than the need for the first svara to add more than the second. Things are often, Chazal often built ideas in a laddered up format. Lozu, not only this, but even that. Lozu afsu. So maybe the whole kasha is not as difficult. We gave a svara, and then we gave another. The svara is true, there's nothing wrong with the first svara. And then we say, you know, and there's even a bigger one. Yitachin. But I want to, we'll stop for more questions afterwards, but let's come back to now fit in the poskim. The other poskim. The Rif, the Rambam, and Shulchan Aruch. So the Rif and the Rambam had both said, we saw yesterday, they only quoted the Rif and the Rambam, they just didn't quote the first answer at all. They only quote the second answer. They only say, well, av the tvei. That was the Rif here. The top of Yudalam and Beis. Even though Ikka Mover, Ikka Zara, Matziyam Achinichli Da'ad Zetfei. And then Mechai Rambam also does. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, he is word for word. He did this in Seder. Mordechai did this in Seder before. Mamash, you have one person reading the Rambam, another person reading along in the Shulchan Aruch, or vice versa. Se'if Gimel, in Siman Kuf Memal from the Shulchan Aruch, is almost letter perfect, verbatim, the second half of the Rambam's Perek Yud-Beis Halach Adal. B'nei Derech B'nei Osa Makam L'Hov Yach B'Yisha Miksesem Zorom Shana Achar Shana Seder Shulchan Aruch Harez the Hechzik Abishah Shol Shom Shachem Mefuzaros. Still Harei Omer L'Hov Arti Oso El Kedei Sheta Sahar B'Bishas Hazriya. And in case you were wondering where the Shulchan Aruch got there from, the Vilna Gaon removes all Suffolk, that Yud, the Vilna Gaon's marker and on the page of Shulchan Aruch is the same as his marker on the page of the Gemara. The Vilna printers did both the same way, which is a bracketed letter. See that bracketed yud? Sharehu, he says, Kilishna Basra Sham, Inami V'chule. Shulchan Aruch is, like the Rambam, like the Rif, quoting the second Lashon, and only the second Lashon, the Inami. So where does that leave you? So it's interesting, Nemuka Yosef says, on the side of the Gemara, sorry, the Rif rather, the last wide line, Yudalab, top of Yudalab on the days, Kamash Malon Dematzi Amar, Kevin Shashchenai lo hayu zorin lo hayu tov lo lizroa v'lisko shomer levadi l'chol abika. It wasn't a good idea for him to have to go solo and hiring a shomer with anyone to share the cost with. Ve'im zara'u shecheinav, and if his shechenim, his neighbors, were zareya, yachalo amar ratzisi shetanuach eretzi shlo tachish v'sasa peros Yosef. What language is Muki Yosef speaking? Which Rishon is he like? Rabbeinu, right? He says, number one, Nitirusa. And he says, but let's say your immediate Shechenim are Zoreya. That's exactly what Rabbi Yonah limits Zoreya number one. Oh, but they could still say, Abdotfei. So Imamish have Nuka Yosef, Koi, and Rabbi Yonah. Now, again, Nuka Yosef is Mibes Midrasho Shal Ramban of Rabbi Yonah. So it's not surprising it's Koi, Rabbi Yonah. But it's perhaps somewhat significant in terms of appreciating the Rif, that it may be a tip, it's hard to know for sure, but it may also be indicating he thinks that's what the Rif means. And honestly, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, all three are in this together. So they all, if you're only quoting the second Svara, that sounds a whole lot like the Rabbi Yonah and the Ritva, that that the second Svara subsumes the first Svara, and therefore I don't need to quote the first Svara. Now again, you could say no, maybe holds like the Tur, that the two Svaras have two different applicabilities, and it's a Mahil, it's a Mach, the Rif of the Ram held is a Machlokas between the two Svaras, and he's poskening like the second one. Maybe, maybe. That's not out of the question. I think the Pashtus says that they only quote the second Svara because that's the only one that's relevant. There is a Nafkamina, the first Svara is limited. The second Svara is not limited. We wanted to tell you, if you only had the first Svara, now, by the way, we also understand something else, which we raised yesterday when we began to learn the Rif from the Rambam, which is, why are they giving the Svaras at all? That's what we had started. Before we looked at it, we started the Rif from the Rambam. And then one of our kashas was, why did they get involved in the Tam HaDin? Just say the Din. And if you get involved in the Tam HaDin, you only quote the second one. Why are you taking a stand? But why get involved in the Tam HaDin at all? And now we understand. Because everyone holds that the Tam HaDin affects the scope of the Din. The Tam HaDin will determine in how many different cases does the Din apply. The Tur and Rabbi Yonah and the Ritva all agree to that. The question is, how exactly does that arrange? So specifically, if the Daf quoting the second Svara and not the first Svara, the Tur, you'll notice, quotes both Svaras. Not surprisingly, because he thinks each one is relevant. The Rif and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch only quote the second Svara because they say, again, like we said before, maybe the Gemara presented the first Svara in the course of developing the ideas Lozu Afzu. Or maybe the Gemara presented the first Svara because it's something that a person might be naturally more inclined to say. But if you want to just the din, when does this din of this exception of Mefuzaris apply? As long as you have the second svara, the din applies. We don't limit it to Ro versus Miut. We don't limit it to Bnei Habika versus non-Bnei Habika, just Bnei Ha'ir. None of those limitations apply, and that's why, because I have the second svara, therefore the Rif, the Rama, the Shulchan Aruch all line up in exclusively mentioning the second svara. Now, let's stop a little bit for questions, and then I wanna dig in a little bit more into one nakuda in the Ritva. Noam.
Okay, so since first of all, is the Torah dasa?
I'm sorry.
Does anyone agree with the Torah, or are we saying
lehalacha? Not that I know. The Bach is excited about the Torah, but lehalacha, I don't think. The Tur seems to have disappeared. I'm sorry? Yes. I don't know. I don't know of anyone else who agrees with the Tur. And you may if you dig more, you may find out the Rishon who said the Tur. I'm not familiar.
Also, since Rishon and Shulchan only quote the second halacha, could that prove that Rishon and Rishon was not more about
That's a good point, right? The fact that the Rif and the Rambam leave it out would make a Lozu Afzu very compelling. If Lozu Afzu beforehand didn't strike you before as being such a Shuk Teretz, that's a good point Noam was making. The fact that the Rif and the Rambam are comfortable just deleting the second, the first answer. That makes sense. In the course of developing ideas, that was part of the Shaka Lutaria. But the Maskana, the Din, is entirely the Inan. Yeah, it's a very good point. Avidan.
Where at the Svara that the Rif and the Rambam, Rif and Shulchan Aruch, are saying that the second answer is all encompassing, that's why they don't need the first answer?
Right.
That only works if we're talking from like a lawyer perspective. But what if the guy's taina is actually that he didn't have enough money to pay for a guard? Is he like, meaning, the way the Gemara is presenting it doesn't seem like they're saying those are the two ways you could say it. So saying that you can only say Abdul Tfei if your reason is...
Avidan is making a good point. Avidan is saying that the fact that you could... Avidan is saying there are two ways to understand... When the Gemara presents these two Svaras, there are two ways to understand what the function of presenting the Svara... What role do these Svaras play? Are these just ideas that we have in the base Medrash that explain why the din is that this chazaka works, or do we actually expect the guy, do we require that the Marakama actually articulate such a svara in Bezin in real time? Avidan is pointing out
that if l'chora the Rif and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't require they actually articulate the Svara, otherwise it would have behooved them to have mentioned both, because you could also, at least under some circumstances, you could say the Tirusa Elohur. That's a good point. I mean, saying the fact that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch leaving it out not only indicates probably those who Aksu, but also indicates that you don't actually have to say anything. We're explaining why is the din true. The just as when a marakama comes to when a machazer comes to Bezin, marakama sues the machazer, and he brings his eidim marakama. And the machazer says, "Well, I have a cheskes abatim gimel shana." And here are the eidim that have achilas peres gimel shana. We don't require the machzik to say, and you should know Dayana Mumchin that we learn Cheskes Abatim from Sharamuad. And nor does he have to say, you should know, I have the Cheskes Abatim Gimel Shanim, and after all, you know, or for 3 years Mizdaharna, and Tveila Mizdaharna. You don't have to say all those stars in Beis Din. Those stars explain why the din is true, but they aren't actually part of the actual taina. Right, so Avidana's pointing out here too. We don't actually require that you say the taina, which is interesting, which maybe takes away a little bit from the thinking about how it's a more of a taina pshuta, less of a taina pshuta. If Avidana's pointing out, l'chor, you don't really need to actually say a taina at all, from the fact that the Rif, the Rambam felt comfortable leaving it out, it sounds like it just, this is the explanation in the Beis HaMedrash for why the din is the way the din is. But once you come to the Beis Din, the people actually speaking, all they have to do is Ritzufas, not Ritzufas, that's it. Yeah, question.
Why did the Torah need to give such an ekimta? The Torah have just said, even with the regular field, it enables one to skip the 1 year, rather to be mover in 1 year for the second reason, and in the next year for the first reason.
But if the avdat fei always works, then what does it matter? And that goes back again to Avidan's ha'ara. That the guy's not actually saying these tainas in the basin. He will require that he articulate these tainas in basin.
If that works, the term he is.
Maybe. Okay, so you're saying if the Torah is understanding that he actually has to articulate them, but then if you assume that, then you have your kasha. If you don't assume that, then you have your kasha. Okay? So it's a kai. You're asking a kasha in your hanacha. So you should read the Torah carefully and figure out the actual evidence to warrant your hanacha. Yeah, Shmuel. I mean, so you could say that everyone agrees with the Torah. If I know it's not a Sada Tova, if I know it's a Sada Tova, then Nish. It's odd that they wouldn't have said it. But that's one possibility. Well, what one possible teretz. One possible teretz is they hold like the Torah. That's true.
If we don't say that, then how can we? Where can we get from the fact that it's two is all encompassing?
Well, because the Rishonim are explaining the limitations on Svar number one. They never say a word. These Rishonim never say a word. These Svardi Rishonim never say a word about limitations on Svar number two. Not Rein Yona, not the Ritzva.
They could line up against some more names. The Ritzva was B'Shem Ra'ah. There's Ben Yona and then Mugayosev. All these Chachmei Svar never say a word about any limitations on Svar number two. So the Mashmos is, I can't prove it, but the Mashmos definitely is that there aren't limitation on Svar number two, and you can, as long as the one limitation is you have to have at least some people who are Movir. If none of the B'nai, that's the one limitation you keep hearing. If none of the B'nai here are Movir, so then you cannot say anything. That's true. Again, that's what you see from the Gemara. That they don't need everyone to be Movir, but at least some people are Movir.
So you can make the claim even if it's not true? Because you're making the claim that you need it to make fallow. Let's say we test the soil, and the soil is stronger than ever.
It's a good, now you tested the soil and now I know, but if you want to know why did I take a break, other people are doing it, and I figured it'll be good for my field also.
Even if it's not the case,
I thought it would be. Again, here you get taught about fuzziness, We're talking about a taina pshuta versus a fuzzy taina. Now we're getting very fuzzy. And that's maybe what the... If you want to know how could one disagree with the tour, forget about Lashon HaGemara, the answer might be... what we're really donning over is my motivation. It's not really about realia. It's really about what's going on in my head. Is that a normal chazaka or is that an abnormal chazaka? So I'm saying, look, some people in town are mover. I was mover also. What do you want? Okay, so maybe I was wrong. Maybe I made a bad agricultural decision. Fine. Maybe I was a bad business decision. I took off a year and it was silly because I would have lost. I would have gained so much. Okay. So I made a bad farming decision. But it doesn't necessarily mean, therefore, that I didn't have a chazaka. It's a normal, typical thing to do. Other people are doing it. It's reasonable. There is a svar for it. It's not a crazy thing to do. I thought it makes sense. You can start arguing with me whether it was reasonable to me or not. So the tour says, yes. If everybody knows that this is the best field in town. Okay, but you could definitely hear room to push back. But now what I want to do, we'll take more questions later. But to think a little bit more, now that we start laying out the overall sugya, think a little bit more. The third point within this Rav Chama, in addition to number one, how many years, 3, 5, or maybe 6, and the relationship between the inamis, point number three lies within the Ritva. And that is, the Ritva is making an interesting assumption. That other Rishonim don't necessarily comment on, and maybe even disagree with. Which is, let's take a look at the Ritva again. Ritva is on board, but let's take a look inside again. Pirish mori neiru b'shem rabosav. Tahani trei taime kolchad v'chad ba'apinav shev lo shayach b'chad b'lechavrei. Each of these two svaras works independently. You don't need the conjunction of both in order to explain why the chazaka works. If most of the people in the bikkur are movir, it's not cost effective to run that type of shmir. So that's if most are zorei, if most are movir. If most are zoreya, they'll say hachi nichli daf ditfe. Now, he uses ruba and ruba, but it's ruba movri versus ruba zari. But we should remember, obviously, ruba zari, the point is, that means amiot, hard mathematics, obviously amiot are being movir. Amiot are being movir, so amiot being movir, he says, you can no longer make the argument that it was cost prohibitive to have shmirah. It's only a slight difference in terms of how many people you're splitting. Most of your usual carpoolers, so to speak, are still going to carpool with you. Most people who split the cost are still there. So it's going to be a little more expensive. It'll be a slight increase. It's not going to be double or triple. Okay. So instead of it being a $15,000 line item, it'll be a $20,000 item. That is an increase, but that wouldn't be enough to warrant not farming for the year. That's what the Ritva says. But it's worth considering. But if I have another rationale, I'm fine. Hachi nichli da'av d'tfei, that still applies. The essential argument that's better for my field still applies. He goes on to say, if no one does it, so then I can't make that argument. But meaning ruba zari means miut moviri. So that's interesting. That the Ritva says explicitly, implies explicitly, Mashma lehedya, one of the great oxymorons. It's mashma lehedya. He never said the word miut, but if you do the math, clearly he's articulating that a miut of people being movir is enough for me to say that I was achzik da achzik inshi. Even though rove are not doing what I'm doing, it's still considered achzik da achzik inshi based on a miut alone. Other Rishonim definitely don't say that beferish. The language tends to be like miktsasan yes, miktsasan not. It's interesting. The Ritva is making the point, even a miyat, and that's actually surprising. I could have said mehecha teisi, that it's called achzik inchi. Maybe no. Look, most people aren't doing this, so why shouldn't we follow Rov? In hochem b'mamon achar Rov. Yeah, you're getting yourself into hot water there, though. Because in halacha mamon achar rov means you can't be motzi from the muchzak based on the rov. Who is the muchzak is a good question. I would not be so fast to say that. I'm sorry.
But also, don't we also say it in the comment regarding the difference between a chaj and a chavis, since even if there's a meet of people that refer to a...
Correct. Because there it's clear who's the muchzik and who's the motzi. I'm saying is this goes back to a discussion right earlier in the year. Who's the muchzik, who's the motzi in the karka case is a little bit dicier. So again, you may be right. Maybe it's a question of Hilchos Acharov. I would suggest that it may have to do instead with what you saw in Hilchos Shatnez. That may provide some help. You saw a rush. Just by way of introduction again, that rush, I gave you a copy. But if you look it up inside, which is always a good thing to do, maybe I'm old school. I mean, I'm old school Luddite. I think there's a lot of value to actually, you know, learning from the heft of an actual sefer, if only because it will help you to remember more what you learned and where you saw it and how to find it again. So it's kedai. I think I mentioned at least some of you that this Rosh, he has a section on Kaloi Begadim, a section Hilchos Shatnez that is ensconced within the middle of the Rosh on Perek Tes of Maseches Nida. The Rosh elsewhere has, like the Rif, certain halachas ketanos, freestanding sections on certain areas of halacha that are not rooted in Masechtas that they wrote on. So let's say Tzitzis and Tfilin and Sefer Torah and Mezuzah are primarily housed in the Talmud Bavli in Maseches Menachos. Yerushalmi has a lot of Mezuzah and Megillah. The Bavli has them primarily in Menachos. There is no Rif or Rosh on Menachos as a whole because most of Menachos is not Nogeh Halacha Maisa. So the dinam of Sfira Sa'omer and Chadash, that appears, the Rif and the Rosh put the very end of Maseches Pesachim, Tzitzis, Tefillin, Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, they have like separate sections on Menachos, Halachas Ketanas, Hilchos Sefer Torah, Siman Alf, Siman Beis, Siman Gimel, so on and so forth, Hilchos Mezuzah, and some other things there also, Tumas Kohanim, the whole series of Halachos Ketanos, different small sections that the Rif and the Rosh have in the back of Menachos. Kaloi Begadim, the Rosh put here. Because there is an important Gemara about Shatnez and Nida Daf Samach Aleph, about a Tarova's case. So that gave the Rosh the Pesach to say, here's where we'll put a stake down here. We'll build all the Hilchos Shatnez. Hilchos Shatnez is mostly based on Mishnayis and Maseches Klaim, the last paragraph of Klaim. So it's all in the middle of Perek Tes. It's just worth noting. It's a little confusing. He starts Perek Tes, the need the Gemaras, Siman Aleph, Siman Beis, so on and so forth, first couple Simanim, and then he stops and does a section of Hilchos Klai Begadim, and then he goes back to continue from Samach Aleph and on, the rest of that Perek, the Hilchos Nida, starting again from Siman Aleph. So there's more than one Perek Tes, Siman Aleph, Perek Tes, Siman Beis, Perek Tes, Siman Gimel. I mentioned a couple guys this morning, it's like when the night that they turn the clock back, there are 2:30 in the mornings. I'm not sure what how cops write a report. Something happened 1:30 in the morning. 1:30 with the first 1:30 in the morning, or the second 1:30 in the morning. I'm not sure what the nusach is. That's the same thing here. Before and after Kalei Begadim, he has two rounds of Perek Tes, Siman Aleph, Siman Beis, Siman Gimel. But anyhow, in the middle of Perek Tes, he has a separate section Kalei Begadim, which you have right here. And our attention is drawn particularly to Siman Zayin, Russian Hilchos Kalei Begadim, Siman Zayin, which is rooted in a Mishnah in Kalayim. Perek Tes, as I said before, the last paragraph of Kalayim, Perek Tes is about Kaloi Begadim, Hashanas. Perek Tes Mishnah Beis gives a din, talks about which materials are Shatnas. Which materials create Shatnas? Apostle and Chumash?
Wool and lin.
Sarah Pishon Yachta, right? Sarah Pishon Yachta. The Mishnah gives some more detail, the Rishon gives some more detail, what's called wool, what's called linen. Is goat's hair wool, or only lamb's wool is wool, and so on and so forth. Then the Mishnah says there are other fabrics that are not wool, or not linen. There are plenty of other fabrics out there. Nowadays we have all sorts of synthetic fabrics, but even with Tkufas Chazal, there were other natural fabrics. There was canvas, and there was hemp, and there was cotton. Well, Rishon certainly had cotton. Taname had cotton also, I forget. Felix, I think, talks about that. They had silk. They had a number of other naturally occurring or naturally produced fabrics. So those are not wool nor linen. They're not kalayim. However, the Mishnah says, what does the Mishnah say about shirayim, which is a type of silk? What does the Mishnah say about shirayim? Not rebbe shirayim. Shirayim. Are a type of meshi. Meshi, memshin yudas means silk. Shiraim. Hashiraim. Ha'klach. Ein be'em shum kalayim. Shiraim matachsa. Min me'il osumi meshi. A type of clothing made from silk, or a type of silk. He goes on to explain that kalach is some sort of marine-derived fabric. So what does the Mishnah say? Take a look inside. Shirai, the underlined parts are the quotes from the Mishnah. Shirai, the kalach, in the Mishnah, kalayim, avol asur mishumar isayin. It's not a problem of here my comes you don't have. It's not a problem of shatnas daraisa, but it is the issur rabbanon of marisayin. If you've ever seen raw silk, raw silk has a very linenish look to it. Take a look with the chaver. Raw silk has a very linenish, flaxy look to it. Now, what does the Rosh say? Did anyone see something in the Rosh that can help? That can help figure out, help give shed light on the Ritva. What was the Rosh's Chiddush? What was the Rosh's Chiddush? The Mishnah says it's a problem of our sign. If I'm gonna wear some sort of jacket, some sort of shirt, some sort of robe that has, let's say I'm wearing one of those professorial tweed jackets with elbow pads, the classic, right? But I have a woolen tweed jacket, but instead of having suede elbow pads, I'm going to have linen elbow pads. That's mamash kalayim, shanks. Take it off right away. Let's say it doesn't have linen elbow pads, it has raw silk elbow pads. There's a raw silk pocket sewn on, so a wool jacket. So what does the Mishnah say? Are you allowed to wear that or not? What does the Mishnah say? What does the Mishnah say? Asa. Why? Marasayin. Good. But you tell me it depends. Who says it depends and on what does it depend?
Depends on the place you're
at.
The people are
lucky.
Types of
fabric. Oh, good. Let's do this carefully. So the Rosh says, very good. Very good, Stan. So the Rosh says, Hilkach. He says, the Rosh goes on to demonstrate that the Shiraim were very. This sort of silk was very rare. There were ain't no matzah. Hilkach, he says, picking up from the bracket. Yesh lachush l'marasayim. There's a concern of marasayim. Mitosh ein mitzuyin ve'ein bekim bim. These are very uncommon fabrics. People aren't familiar with them. You svurin shalobish kalayim. People will think these wearing kalayim. Umitosh ze asar ki ba'ashkenaz. Oh, here's one more copy of the Rambam Kabbalah, so on. I believe that's a reference to canvas. Fachas big day tzemer, because canvas is not matzah in Ashkenaz, and it looks like pishtan. So the first thing the Rosh tells us is he invented a new chumrah. He didn't really invent it; he just applied the din haMishnah. He said the Mishnah didn't mention canvas, but we have. He says, but I live in medieval Ashkenaz. The beginning of the Rosh's life, he lived in Germany. I think I mentioned it earlier in the year. He had to flee Germany after the death of his Rebbe, the Maram of Wurttemberg. He fled Germany in advance of the Rheinfleisch massacres. He managed to escape safely to Spain, passes through Barcelona on his way down to Toledo. Toledo is in southern Spain, but on his way down to Toledo, where he took a Rabbanus and settled, he spent 8 days closeted, talking and learning with the Rashba. So this is back when I was in Ashkenaz, the Rosh writes. Canvas, which is probably canvas, is very uncommon, but here and there some people had. It was an uncommon item. So I told people you're not allowed to sew a patch of, or a lining, a canvas lining, into a woolen jacket. Yusvurin is eno matzah. Yusvurin shubeve pishtan. So the Rosh is saying this is not, you can apply the principle of the Mishnah in that case as well. V'haidna mitzuyin big day meshi b'neinu. Nowadays, I don't know whether nowadays means even in Ashkenaz or this is the Rosh saying, now that I got to Sfarad in Spain, silk is common. But in any case, he definitely means nowadays as opposed to in B'tkufas Chazal. B'tkufas Chazal, I wrote a few lines ago, says the Rosh, that silk was very uncommon. But nowadays, Ha'idna, nowadays, Matsuyim Bigdamesh Beinenu. Silk is a more common item. Hakol makir ben, everyone recognizes it. Hilkach mutar lispar big day meshi tachas big day tzemer. You are allowed to have a garment that has a silk lining sewn into a wool garment, a silk and wool sewn together. Or chute meshi b'sar v'alshot tzemer. Different ways of fabricating, different ways of putting, constructing a garment that has wool and also a wool base with some silk piece attached, even though it's mamish against the Mishnah says it's a problem, the Rosh says, not a problem. Wow. Breita plates, the Rosh has broad shoulders. Mamish. Being makel against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, meshi is a problem, shiroim are a problem, or shiraim, depending on what spelling you have. He says, no, bezmanazeh, that's fine. Bezmanazeh, that's fine. Yeah, modern orthodoxy. Said you have to look at the, you have to look at, that's what Rashi always points out. The same as Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rashi Feinstein. You have to, sometimes doing the same behaviors in a different context may seem like that's keeping the Masorah, but that's actually the opposite of keeping the Masorah. The Rosh says, if I were to tell you, well, nowadays in 13th century Europe, you're not allowed to wear wool and silk together because the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. So that would seem like I'm keeping the Masorah more stringently. I'm following exactly what Chazal did. It says, but that would not be following exactly what Chazal did. Because the point wasn't silk is treif. The point was silk is marasayin. Well, nowadays it's not marasayin. Nowadays canvas is, even though Chazal didn't say it, and silk is not. He says, I'm following Chazal. This is what Chazal would have done if they would have been dealing with my case. To give a very crude and obvious, reductio ad absurdum type of mashal, whereas, let's say old school. I told you the other day, my grandmother told me she remembers when she was a young married woman in Shaarei Chesed, Yerushalayim, pre-state Palestine, in the 30s and 40s, Rav Yaakov Moshe Harlap was Talmud Chaver of Cook, was the Rav of Shaarei Chesed, I believe. And she used to occasionally, you got a chicken from the Shochin, there was a treifas shayla. So you go, something's funny in the lung, something's funny in the liver, whatever it is, you go show it to the Rav, and he'll paskin kasher treif. So let's say, last week there was something that looked discolored in one of the internal organs, and I brought it to the Rav, and he said, treif. Okay, we threw the chicken out, or whatever. We sold it to a non-Jewish neighbor. This week, again, there's a discolored organ. I had a shayla, and I took it to the Rav. And this week he said kosher. So you can say, oh, inconsistent. He's not following what he used to follow. Last week he said the chicken was treif, and this week he said chicken's kosher. Does that make sense?
No.
Of course not. Why? Because they're different cases. Yeah, looking very loosely, well, there was a discolored internal organ. There was a hole in something inside the chicken. And last week you were machmer, this week you're mekel. What's happening to you? You're trending lahakal. No, but that's ridiculous. They're two different cases. Last week it was a hole over here, and this week it's a hole in this organ. Last week it was this discoloration, and this week it's a different discoloration. A different case, different set of facts. Of course you're going to call for a different psak. Yes, there is a din of trefa. But you have to figure out to what particular set of facts are you applying the same set of halach principle. It's who dinami over here, the Rosh says. There's a halachic principle of marasayin, but the same wool and silk in 4th century, in 2nd century Eretz Yisrael, 4th century Bavel, versus the wool and silk, the same wool, the same silk, in 13th century Ashkenaz, it's not the same case. Because you're not recognizing it's a different chicken. Because part of the case is the thing itself, the items, and part of the case is what's social realia. That's the point that the Rosh is making. Maris Ayin depends on whether something is Maris Ayin if the kosher, true and kosher explanation is a Davar She'eino Matzui. And that is quoted here in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Sadi Ches. Ein Ostem Shem Kalaim El Tzemer Chayim Ve'elim and Pishtim. It opens, this is the first of several Simonim. I believe Kalaim Begadim goes until Simon Shin Dalet in Yerodea. For Reish Tariches, the Shin Dalet Shin Hei is Pidyon Aben. So he says, the Din Dereis of Kalaim has to be lamb's wool, or ram's wool, tzemer rechem or tzemer elim, combined with pishtun, combined with linen. But chachamim, skipping down a couple lines, chachamim asrum and play maris ha'ayin, meshim tzemer. Why? If you should domel a pishtun. He said the silk is a marasai. It looks like flax. Unlike he had quoted earlier, kanvus and semer gefen, mutter. You're allowed to mix cotton with wool. You're allowed to mix canvas with wool. But midraban, you cannot mix silk with wool. Okay. V'ha'idna adkan from the Mishnayos. V'ha'idna. Now he's pointing the Rosh. Nowadays, meshi motzi beinenu, hakol makirim bo, it's a common item. Lefigach ein bo b'shamar z'ayin, mutter im hatzemer v'ma pishtun. And then the Ramon, Tziv Beis, goes on to quote the Rosh's Chumra. Also lesmer bega kambus tachas bega tzemer, v'makam de lo shriach kambus, mishum mar z'ayin, v'makam de shriach shari. So the Rosh is being consistent, bein lahakol, bein lahachmer. He says, the principle is, the halachic principle is not silk. The halachic principle is not canvas. The halachic principle is matzoi versus ena matzoi. And you're going to apply that. You look at your case, whatever case you're dealing with, and figure out where it fits in these last, the halachic categories aren't changing. The fact of any given case may change from case to case. Different chickens. Okay? So you have to take the unchanging halachic categories and figure out where your particular reality fits in. And that's why, look in the Shach, you see how that continued to be applied. The Shach says, Sivkan Beis, Uve Vidino say, no, Ogen Hetta Viveka Kanvos, Ki Umatilarov. The Shach quotes from the Haggadah Drisha, and now that we live in Eastern Europe, canvas is once again common, so we don't follow the Russians' Easter of canvas with wool, because for the same reason that he was machmir with mikol. It's all a question of figuring out the kimo. Maybe if later in the year we get into bishul akum, one of the issues the Gemara gives two criteria that a food has to meet in order to be susceptible to bishul akum. One of which is that it has to be a food which is inedible raw. The cooking was very significant. I could not have eaten it raw. The Nachi took the inedible raw food and cooked it. And then the second condition is, not only did he make it edible, but it's all al shulchan malachim. He even made what he produced is not only edible, but a socially significant food. Literally, it could be served on the table of kings. So the Gemara gives examples of things that they run afoul of this rule, of that rule. So the Gemara says, and as an example, mushrooms. If a nachri sautés mushrooms, it's not a bishul akum problem. Again, you have to make sure the kalim were kosher, but assuming a nachri sautés mushrooms with kosher oil and kosher kalim, there's no problem. Bishul akum, the Gemara says. Why? Because feh, mushrooms, those are like low-class food. That's not socially significant. The Shach writes, bizman hazeh, there is a bishul akum problem with mushrooms, because nowadays, mushrooms are the social cachet of mushrooms. The Rosh Hashanah writes has risen over the last 1,200 years, and now much in the 1600s, the Shach says mushrooms are chashuva food. Is the bishul akum problem? And now, as in nowadays, 20th century, 21st centuries, ironically, mushrooms are once again, we follow the din haGemara, but not for the Gemara's reason. Mushrooms are once again not bishul akum problem, but why? Because everyone, because people, plain people, eat mushrooms raw. Sauteed mushrooms have a nice added flavor to them. But it's Necha Kamo Shuchai, the rules haven't changed. The halachic categories are consistent. It has to be Necha Kamo Shuchai, O Shulch Lachim. The facts on the ground from case to case may vary. There are poskim who suggest, it's a big debate, not for now, has the rise of sushi changed the halachic status of fish? If more and more people are eating raw fish, does that mean that grilled salmon does not pose a bishul akum problem because plenty of people eat salmon raw? Yeah. Obviously, the reason why you like it grilled, gesunta hate, but maybe it's nechal kemoshu, it's like a baked apple. So some people like the baked apple, has a different presentation, different texture. Some people like it, some don't like it. But even if you find baked apples to be much more appealing than raw apples, since plenty of people eat apples raw, baked apples are not a bishul akum problem. So that's a discussion about sushi. It's not clear that sushi helps, because sushi has some very strong adherence, but the question is, what percentage, the sushi fan base is a very passionate fan base, but at the same time, if you cast your net broadly enough, a relative, I think, is still the case that a relatively small percentage of Americans actually eat sushi. So that's a discussion the post can have. I'll give one more example, then we'll come back here, is cranberry sauce. November Shiloh. Canned cranberry sauce. Cranberry jelly. So Shiloh is, do you need to send the Mashgiach Tamidi to can cranberry sauce if it's a Bishul Akim problem? It means you have to have a Jew turn on the boiler for that run, for the run of canning cranberries. If it's not a Bishul Akim problem, it's just a question of making sure the ingredients are kosher. You just have a Yotzev v'Nichnas. Mm-hmm. You don't need the Mashgiach there all the time. So it's a dollars and cents Shiloh. It used to be that cranberries required a Mashgiach Tamidi, and nowadays they don't. Why? Because cranberries are very tart. Cranberries are incredibly tart. Most people don't eat raw cranberries. It's an acquired taste. So how do you eat cranberries? So the way you eat cranberries, you have to figure out some, for the most of the population to eat cranberries, you need to figure out some way, some method of getting a lot of sugar to adhere to the cranberries. So traditionally the way you did it is you boiled it with sugar. That's why it was always cranberry jelly or cranberry sauce, because that was an effective way of getting the sugar, sugaring the cranberries. So it used to be that very few people ate raw cranberries because they were so tart. Ad Sheba, I don't know if it was Ocean Spray, whoever it was, someone invented craisins. They figured out a way to get to effectively sugar cranberries without having to boil them. So it used to be that cranberries were not nechel kamo shuchai. Very few people would eat raw cranberries because they were so tart. Now that we've figured out a way to have non-tart, to have sweetened raw cranberries, they're somewhat dried, but they're not really baked. So bizman hazeh, the status of cranberries has changed. And no longer now they consider to be nechel kamo shuchai. And therefore, canned cranberries, you have to make sure the ingredients are kosher. I'm sorry? Yeah. That's what post can assume. If you want, I don't have it with me. I can show you the OU chuvas. They're doing something, correct? They're doing something, but it's eaten right. Something they'll be eaten pickled. It's assumed to be Nech Kamo Shulchan. I would love to discuss Bishul Akim more broadly, but not right now. But I will leave you to think about whether potato chips. Whether potato chips fulfill both those conditions or not. Coming back here. So the Rosh has been, again, we brought in Bishul Akim. It's fascinating to see a little bit of a halacha l'maisa and to see specifically an example of a principle that's at play in the Rosh, phenomenon that's at play in the Rosh as well. This dynamic of recognizing when there may be certain cultural realities or cultural assumptions change. Sometimes the cultural assumptions are one of the facts of the case. So you have to be attuned to notice that, whether it's a question of eating habits in the context of Bishul Akim, or it's a question of the frequency or infrequency of different items. The Rosh is saying, again, in the world of Shatnez, even the Mishnah talks about Maris Ayin in certain fabrics and not in other fabrics. It's not really a formalized Din D'Rabbanan. B'Kiv Eger, I think, on the bottom raises that question. No, the Pizchei Tshuva raises that question. It's kind of off. He says, why not say, Davar Shemin Tzach Miachatir, Chazal Med Gzeira, that the Gzeira is the way the Gzeira is, even if the reason changes. So presumably the Rosh would say, they didn't make a Gzeira on silk. They made a gzeira on davar she'ino motzei. Maris ayin is also a davar she'ino motzei. So you have to figure out what fits into that box. That box doesn't change. What fits into that box will change from time period to time period. And this should point out, bein lahakil, bein lahachmir. That's why the Rosh assumes that now in medieval Ashkenaz, canvas is a problem. Why? Because he made a new tindrab. He made his own takan drab. No. He said, I'm just applying the Din D'Rabbanan that appears in the Mishnah.
I apologize for the disruption. Jack Warren, please come to Icon's office. Jack Jack Lorenz to Rabbi Kahn's office.
Coming back. Coming back. That's why, again, that's why the Rush says, Bein Lahako, Bein Lahachmer, the Gzeira applies. I'm going to figure out what fits in the Gzeira in any given context. In any given context. And let's see one more line. And then we're ready to come back to our Sugya. Chasav Abba, continuing the Shach, the Sifsei Kohen, Chasav Abba, came in Shemotzui, as long as the item is common, the canvas or the silk, no hagin heter, it's mutter, there's no problem, arisayin, afal pishalonim se misha makiro, it lahavin shu beged kanvos, ki imala ma'at. This is interesting. This goes back to what Stan was saying before. The Russia had a line about Baki. The Bach says, but I don't need to have people who can actually differentiate which is canvas and which is linen, or which is silk and which is linen. It's interesting. Meaning, he says, as long as silk is a common item, even if I can't tell, even if most people don't know which is which, so then why is it mutter? I understand. So you have a beged that's wool and silk. And most people can't tell whether it's silk or linen. So it's not shanus daraisa, because you know that in fact it's silk. Because you went to the fabric store, you bought a piece of silk. Shkoyach. But most people looking don't know which is which.
Why can't you say that for anything? If people don't know
the rule of the cloth. So then what's... Yeah,
Shmuel? Because I guess they would just assume that you're not doing anything wrong, because normally they have silk, so they would just think, oh, I don't know if it's silk or this, so, you know, it's probably just silk.
Yeah.
You would know? What Shmuel's saying, but once you have a reason to give someone the benefit of the doubt, you should. And if there's only one, if there's only that one item, then okay, fine, then they have a choice. Once they're recognizable, everyone knows that there's silk and another thing, like... Come on, you need to
get a prison. Let's take this. Very good. Let's take what you're saying and give another scenario. A veggie burger with cheese. It's a Maris Ayin, a Bas B'chalav, right? In fact, it's not actually Bas B'chalav because the burger isn't fleishik. So is that a problem? Is that not a problem? So from this rush you see, well, it depends whether veggie burgers are matzoy or ain't a matzoy. Now, again, if you have like the old school veggie burger that has like peas and corn popping out of it, so that's very obviously not meat, and there's no marasai at all, because you can tell by looking at it that that's a veggie burger. The old school soy dogs that were very common, I saw once upon a time, they did not look anything like a hot dog. Okay, so there's no marasai at all. But let's say you have a Beyond Burger.
They don't look like,
yeah, what?
They don't look like burgers. Yeah, they're like cut out. It's like a circle.
Yeah, but I guess from a distance it is hard to tell.
Either way, the point is there.
Let's say you have a burger that looks, you have Morningside Farms. They look like meat. So that then it ought to be Marasayin. So says the Rush, well, it depends, are they an uncommon item or a common item? And says the Bach, as long as it's a common item, and that definitely has been changing over time, 20 years ago, meatless burgers were far less, they were more common in Eretz Yisrael, they were very uncommon in America. Nowadays, they're far more common than they used to be. So 20 years ago, if you were going to serve a meatless burger with cheese, you probably had to have the wrapper on the table, you had to have some sign. And they used to have that in Dunkin' Donuts under Ashkach, we'll have that. There'll be a sign somewhere in the store that says plant-based to be mekayim that din simon pezayin yardeya. Bizman hazeh, one can make the argument, nowadays they're doing it for advertising because plant-based is appealing, but one can make the argument, bizman hazeh, plant-based, vegetarian, meat-looking burgers are davar motzui. Even though, again, Chaim said some of them, if you look, you can tell. But there are other brands where you can't, most people can't really tell. It's still mutter, says the Bach. Why? Why? Because, let me rephrase what the two of you were saying. As long as, if there are two ways to interpret a particular look, a particular scene, if there are two ways to interpret a particular scene, and both of them are common realities, I have the right to assume that other people will recognize that maybe what I'm doing is version number two. The kosher version. Even if, by the way, what was the Rush's standard? How common does the kosher version have to be? What did he keep saying? What was the word he kept using? Matzoy, right? It's available. Does matzoy mean rove? Absolutely not. Eino matzoy means a miyut she'eino matzoy. It's very uncommon. Matzoy means it's common. It still wasn't the rove. There was still way more linen around than silk or than canvas by the Hagas Drishas Medina. Matzoy means it's a miyut, but it's a miyut ha-matzoy. It's a common item. Not as common, not rove, but it's out there. It's people know that that's an option. So what's the Rush saying? As long as it's a common option, even though the less common option, but it's a common option, that's enough for me to say it's no longer on me to make it clear that what I'm doing is kosher. I have the right to assume that the observer ought to realize that there are two interpretations. And the Bach adds, even if there's no way of knowing which one it is, as long as he knows, I think that's what the two of you were saying, as long as the observer knows, I know, I'm a man of the world, I know that there's meat burgers, I know that there are meatless burgers. And it's out there, it's in the stores, there are still more meat burgers than meatless burgers. Most burgers are in Parv. Most of you are thinking, Baruch Hashem. Most burgers are in Parv, but Parv burgers are a common item. You don't have to search through five stores before you find them. There is any supermarket is going to have an array of meatless burgers. Plenty of restaurants will have options for meatless burgers. It's a davar matzoy. It's a miyut matzoy. And you can't tell the difference. It's still no longer my problem that I look as though I'm eating bas b'chol. No. The observer knows that might be bas b'chol, that might not be bas b'chol. A miyut suffices. And now you take it back to the Ritva. L'char this Rush, specifically with the Bach, fits beautifully, dovetails with the Ritva. He's saying, Ruba, Zari year after year, and a miyut, remember that's what he said. The angle that the Ritva had added, because he was the one Rishon, maybe you'll find others I'd be interested to see, he was the one Rishon who had said that even if you just have a miyut of movirim, that's still good enough. Why? I lo achzik achzik inshi. So the answer is, well, what does that mean? A guy shows up, a marakama shows up, and he's going to say, no, it looked like you were acting like a ganav. Not so fast, the Ritva says, and with the Russian mind, we understand well. There are two ways to interpret this, and they're both matzui, even though one is the miyut. The understanding that the guy is one of the farmers who are movirim, they are the miyut, but it's matzui. It's not one out of 100. Out of 50 farmers in the area, I don't know, 7 of them, 8 of them, 9 of them, 10 of them are movirim, and the other 40 are not. So they're in the miyut, but still davar matzui. And even if you can't really, again, with a Bach as well, I show up to a guy's field and it's empty. What does that mean? Does that mean that he's one of the miyut who are movirim? Or stam, he's just, you know, not taking his field seriously. I can't really tell, but that's fine, the Bach says. You don't have to be able to, even if most can't tell which one it is, as long as you know that this is a matzui option, a miyut ha-matzui option, that's sufficient to say it's not the producer's obligation to make it clear. Mm-hmm. It's on the observer to realize there are two different pshat that I could give. Either marasayin, it makes it not problem marasayin, and chasabatin, it eliminates the marakama's taina that you were derech haganav. No, there is a matzui option, despite the fact that it's a miyut, says the Ritva. There is a matzui option that what I'm doing is standard farming. There's a miyut movirim, and that is good enough to maintain that this is achzik, kid achzik inshi.